Today's readings present two very fabulous stories for us, separated by 1,000 years, the story of David, story of Mary. The story of David, unless we understand that the beginning of the people of Israel as a kingdom, as a nation, was so embroiled in violence, we probably do not understand what David was trying to do. From the time they became a kingdom, Israel is a small little kingdom. One of the major concerns is security. How do we protect ourselves and our nation from the cultures and enemies and the gods that are outside? Now, David is only the second king of Israel, and he was the king that ruled the longest, 40 years. Once he assumed kingship, he begins to stabilize the kingdom, and he succeeds. There is peace in the borders. For most part, he's a very powerful king, a great army, a great warrior, and Israel, for the first time, experiences peace. So much peace that he's built a palace for himself. Of course, the king must dwell in a palace. But something nags David. He says, I'm living in a palace, but the Ark of the Covenant, which for them is very similar to the tabernacle for us, it's in a tent. And David says, I must build a house for God. Now, on the one hand, you have to admire David for his desire to do something good for God. On the other hand, think about it. Really, human beings can build a house for God? Sometimes we build churches and we have a little tabernacle. And do you think that what we can build can hold the power and the majesty and the glory of God? Do you think we really think that that's possible? How can David create for God a house when God created this entire universe, and this whole universe is God's temple, as it were? Now, I don't want to be unfair towards David, because his intentions were really good and holy. But God takes David's intention to a completely different level. God says to David, you're going to build me a house? Really? How about we change perspective here? He says, it's not about your will and what you want to do. I will build you a house instead. So if you know the history of the people of Israel, David did not build a house for God. The temple was not built by David. Solomon built the temple. And so God says, I want you as king to align your will with mine, as opposed to God aligning God's will with David's. It's about God's will. Then a second story of Mary. Unlike David, she was not from a royal family and did not live in a free nation. She was poor, and the last thing she could do is build a temple for God. There was no way she could pull that off. But Mary did something far greater than that. She became the temple of God. She carried in her womb the Son of God. The only will she knew was the will of God. Unlike David, who had plans for God, as it were, Mary only knew one will, and that was God's will. And in ways David never could, Mary surrendered her will to God totally, as she says, I am the handmaid of the Lord, just let it be done to me according to your word. And for that, we hold her in high regard today. she is blessed for all generations. So, two stories. God's will is kind of the focus of today's reflection that I'm presenting here today. And my three points, I want to talk about will. Our will and God's will. And because it is about will and human will, the practical implications of reflecting on God's will is really very hard. But let's attempt it. First of all, let's talk about God's will. Folks, God has given us two faculties, two gifts. Rationality, right? We can all think. We can make decisions and take responsibility for ourselves. And free will. So what we rationalize, we can carry it out freely. Two great gifts. Sometimes, though, we make rational decisions, but those rational decisions can be at odds with God's will. Not all rational decisions may be in accordance with God's will. So David, let's take the example of David. He rationalizes, I am living in a palace. How can God live in the tent? I'm going to build God a house. But God had completely different plans. He says to David, no, you won't build a house. I will build a house for you. Right? In my life, I was ordained in India. What the heck am I doing in Dayton? Never planned this. Never ever imagined this is how it would work out. In your own life, I'm sure there are times you've made plans and it has not gone the way you intended for it to be. Now, Mary also rationalized. How can this be? I have no relations with the man. She rationalized. However, Mary is able to offer her will. In spite of her rationalization, she's able to offer her free will completely to God. Mary also faced the kind of turmoil that we and David faced each day. And Mary teaches us that our real challenge is that using our intellect, we can surrender our wills to God. God does not want us to surrender our rationality. God doesn't want us to become stupid people. God wants us to be intelligent people because God has given us the brain to make decisions. But that our decisions are such that, like Mary, using our intellect, our will is in harmony with God's will. That is the challenge for us. Now, the whole question you ask me is, how do we do this? I'll tell you how it does not happen. You can't get up in the morning one day and say, dear God, what is your will? Doing God's will and understanding God's will is a lifelong project. If our lives are not prayer-filled lives, if you and I don't make it a life project for us to constantly be in prayer at God's feet, trying to understand this man's life, his teaching, his words, his actions. If we don't take the time to understand that, then listen, God's will is something that we think, like David, we are doing. But perhaps God's will and our will can be at odds. To be a person who accomplishes God's will like Mary is a spiritual project. Lifelong project. Takes a life of prayer, serious reflection on God's word, and really an eager desire to discern God's will. So here's my warning to you and to me too. Don't say thy will be done if your spiritual life is not ready to handle God's will, because you'll be very frustrated. Secondly, surrendering our will to God is a great act of faith. Surrendering our wills to God makes the future look uncertain. Surrendering our will to God makes us lose control of our lives. That is why David was more comfortable by saying, hey, I'm going to build God a house. It's easier to figure out, hey, this is what I want, and let's do this. It's very easy to do that. So for example, for me, right, to make a decision to stay back in Dayton, leave the two people that I love most dearly, my parents, back in India. I don't think most people know the struggle I went through before I made that decision. I had to trust that if this is God's will, that I should be here, that somehow God will provide for my two aging parents. I have no control over this. I'm still anxious. What if my dad passes away and mom is alone? What do I do then? Honestly, I don't know. That's a risk that I have to take. And that's what Mary did. Now, because of that decision, I'm not saying that I'm the holiest guy on the face of the earth. Don't get me wrong, okay? But look at Mary. Mary says, let your will be done. Did she know what she was saying yes to? Did she foresee the cross? Did she? Once she said yes to God, I'm sure there were things that were happening in her life that she would not have chosen on her own. That somebody choose that their son should be brutally killed on a cross? Does anybody choose that? Did Mary know that? All that Mary did was take the risk of saying to God, let your will be done. And her faith keeps her committed to that original surrender. It's her faith that keeps her committed to that original surrender. So if you're going to pray, dear God, let your will be done on earth, then be prepared to take that risk in faith. Be prepared to let God handle your life. So for example, surrendering your will may mean this Christmas forgiving someone you have held long-time grudges against. That's a risk to let things go. Doing God's will may mean sharing more selflessly of your wealth, being more available to someone in the family, embrace the priesthood or religious life, choose a life partner who is more than anything else godly, making a commitment to worship each Sunday, getting rid of our prejudices, our negative images of God. These are all risks. But in faith, like Mary, it's possible to say to God, let it be done to me according to your will. And very briefly, thirdly, both the stories of Mary and David, there is good news in all of this. I have focused on what is hard, because it is hard. But there is good news in all of this. What's the good news? Two people, David and Mary, who surrendered their wills to God, brought about the greatest amount of good. So yes, it was hard for them to surrender their will to God. Once they did, look at what happened. David gave peace and security to God's kingdom, and because Mary surrendered her will to God, we have Jesus. Now if you look at Mary's life microscopically, that was hard. But if you look at Mary's life from the big picture perspective, my gosh, thank God she did what she did. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. So when Mary and David accomplished God's will, great things happened from the big perspective. And so I guess that is what we are being asked to do. If I, in faith, can take the risk of saying to God, dear God, may your will be done. And in my prayer life and in my reflection, in my faith, I'm ready to for God's will to be accomplished in my life. We cannot imagine what God might accomplish through us. So my final practical implication is this. I know we are busy getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We've bought gifts, we have decorated, we probably are making, you know, goodies for Christmas, we've planned, made our Christmas schedule, everything is ready. But here's the question, what about our wills? This Christmas, is it possible that I say to Jesus in the manger, you know what, may your will be done in my life? Would that be the greatest gift that we can give to Jesus this Christmas? What about our wills? Think about it. This Eucharist is possible because God wills to be with us freely. As we receive Christ in this Eucharist, may our prayer be that of Mary. Let it be done to me according to your will. People of God said,